In late January, New York Times columnist and cookbook author Melissa Clark learned a shipment from China of her latest title for Penguin Random House was lost at sea when shipping containers fell overboard in a storm. She took it well. On Instagram, Clark said she hoped the fish would enjoy the recipes. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Velocity of Content. It's Friday, February 25th, 2022. As we do each week, we check in with Publishers Weekly on news from the world of books and publishing. Andrew Albanese is away. Jim Milliot, PW editorial director, joins me with his reporting and analysis. Welcome back to the program, Jim.
Always glad to be back, Chris.
Well, glad to have you. And, you know, Melissa Clark said that that maritime mishap for her cookbook was in keeping with the zeitgeist of 2022. We all know what she means by that. And certainly, Jim, authors and publishers around the country can sympathize with her publishing predicament, given the ongoing supply chain troubles we've heard about. You recently appeared on a program sponsored by Canon Solutions America and called The Powerful Case for U.S. Book Manufacturing in the Face of Global Supply Chain Challenges, Paper Shortages, and Rising Distribution Costs. Joining that discussion with you were Bill Rojak, Vice President of Midland Paper, and Matt Baer, Executive Director at the Book Manufacturers Institute. Chris Lyons, President and Publisher of Book Business, moderated. So we want to hear from you about that discussion and what you learned. Andrew Albanese, of course, has frequently covered the supply chain pressures on publishing over the last 2 years on this show. But perhaps we should begin by reminding us of how we got here.
It's been a long, torturous road, Chris, as you know. Warnings started coming out almost this time last year, maybe a little closer to spring, about the backlog at sea, shortages of printing capacity, and the like, and, you know, warned people to buy their books early, which, in fact, as the new data has shown, a lot of people did start buying their books in October and November. So that worked out, and they did pay attention. But this new one, you know, it's sort of tied to what we've been talking about in 22 and 2021. Nobody expected books to sell in the volume that they did. And so there was a little under planning, if you will, in terms of getting capacity ready and that sort of thing. So then you couple that with, you know, we had the great resignation and people were leaving their manufacturing jobs in droves, you know, as well as in the paper manufacturing side. So you could see the beginnings of a new kind of shortage, Chris, which I guess we'll talk about here.
Right. And, you know, the problems are as basic as they come. For a start, there's a paper shortage, and not toilet paper this time, but paper for print books.
Yeah, it's really become stark and it becomes seriously very quickly. Even Publishers Weekly, you know, we're looking at a little disruption in our paper supply. And with all disruptions, prices are going to be going up. So, you know, that's one thing we're looking at. But, you know, as you mentioned, Bill Rojak from Midland Paper, which is more or less a paper broker, started that webinar with what we're calling a very sobering statement, saying that he's been in business for 25 years and he's never seen a market like this before. I know he's acknowledged there's been cycles before, but not everything quite as dramatic as we're seeing now. And he made a really good point, which people in the book publishing industry, you know, may forget from time to time. Book papers only count for about 5% to 7% of all the paper that is manufactured. And the other, you know, the lion's share of it goes to such things as magazines and catalogs. So while books were doing, you know, pretty well, as we said, over the pandemic period there, not so much for catalogs and magazines and some other products that use paper, you know, the shift to digital was pretty pronounced. So in response to that, these paper mills decided, hey, where's all the money going? And they quickly calculated that they're going into the packaging that Amazon's using to send your books online and via UPS or Amazon Prime or whatever. So in the transfer, you know, transferring these paper mills to something else, paper capacity for books was also lost.
And what types of solutions were discussed on the webinar, Jim? Are there short-term responses or are we talking about fixes that are going to take a longer while?
there's nothing super quick. There's, you know, it's sort of going to lead back to two things: trying to get paper manufactured in the United States, get more capacity. Matt Barr, who you referenced, was on the panel, and he made a point he made in the fall that even if domestic printers and paper manufacturers wanted to, you know, put on another shift or so, they really couldn't do it because there's not enough people to do it, or now there's not enough skilled workmen. So that's one problem. But there is hope that if they can raise the wages and some benefits and stuff, they might be able to lure people back. And so one thing publishers here are looking for is to try to use more domestic printers. You know, as I'm sure people listening to the podcast here have heard, that, you know, a lot of printing is still done in China, especially the four color. But slowly but surely, printing has been coming back into the United States. So that's one option. And then the other option is print on demand. And it's something else I'm sure your listeners have heard about, which is, you know, in contrast to the offset printing, where the key is getting more efficiency out of huge runs, like 15, 20, 50,000 copies at a clip, print on demand is much more targeted. So it really leans into something that Bill on the podcast was calling, and others are starting to learn, print to sell. And so let's say your best guess is you're going to sell maybe 2,000 copies of a book over a month. You'll just print those 2,000 copies. So you won't have a lot of overrun. You won't have a lot of stuff sitting around. And you won't have to buy paper that's never going to be used.
Well, you know, Jim, if Rip Van Winkle had fallen asleep about 10 years ago and woke up to this situation in 2022, he would have said, wait a minute, I thought print was dead. Clearly not so.
No, wait, Chris. There was a little period there, you know, a few years ago where it looked like print books was a little bit in trouble. But we've had, you know, statistics come out over the last few weeks that showed print books unit sales were about 9%, according to BookScan in 2021. And that's on top of the 8% increase in print units that came in 2020. The BookScan folks say they never saw back-to-back years that size growth in the 20-plus years they've been doing it. So there still is a great demand for print. So it's, you know, it becomes incumbent now on the publishers to work with their printers and the paper manufacturers to come up to some sort of solution. And that's one thing Rojak had pointed out in the webinar. Like, you know, there has to be some communication about what's the best way to attack this problem, because it is solvable, but it's going to take some work and some, you know, sharing of information and maybe a little give and take, especially on the terms of the publishers. Something that, again, was pointed out in the fall and I repeated last week was some of the publishers do acknowledge, especially when it comes to printers, that, you know, they may have taken advantage of them when there was too much capacity. Every time they were looking to try to get their operating margins up, they could always take some money out of what they wanted to pay the printers. And that's led to, you know, a huge consolidation in the number of printers that are available. So, you know, the leverage has totally swung over from publishers to printers. And now they're all sort of in this this mess together where, you know, what are we going to do about paper?
All right. Well, Jim Elliott, PW Editorial Director, thanks so much for joining me on the program this week. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Chris.
Coming up on the next podcast from CCC, craft beers, artisanal cheeses, small batch bourbons. These and many other niche businesses thrive today by providing quality products for audiences seeking value and exceptional experiences. So why not small batch publishing? Caleb Mason runs Publirati, his independent publishing enterprise, from his home on Vinyl Haven, a coastal Maine island reached by a 75-minute ferry ride. On Vinyl Haven, Caleb Mason has situated his business among the lobster boats and the summer cottages by relying not only on good writing, but also technology. The key to success, he says, is a focus on scale, the same approach as at your favorite microbrewery. Well, let's talk about your business model and how you make it work when your prices are $9.95 for an ebook and $19.95 for a paperback. What's behind it? What are the arrangements with authors, with distributors, and how do you achieve that scale that you're after?
Well, I do most of the work myself, other than graphic design. I do the acquisitions. I actually pay authors higher royalty rates than they get from traditional publishers, but I don't pay advances. My ongoing challenge for growth will be to get more readers, and I try to create a business model around a goodwill model for promoting literacy that would cause people to almost see me more like a book club or a collection, where they know when they buy something from Publirati, they're getting a certain quality within a certain niche genre. Back to microbrew, you know, I only make so many types of beer here. And so that's really the overall strategy for what I'm doing.
Small Batch Publishing, coming on the next CCC podcast. Our producer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. You can subscribe to the program wherever you go for podcasts. And please do follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening. Join us again soon for another Velocity of Content podcast from CCC.